Well, I wonder what the key events of 2022 were. We had the invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February, Commonwealth Games, the Queen's passing, and then a new king. Or maybe it's been the World Cup which stood out for you. Well, here were some of the national and international events of 2022. But what about you? What were the key events for you? And as the page of the year turns, what will the new year bring? Well, Dan, who's one of the youth members, is expecting a sister, another sister in his family. There will be deaths, yes, certainly. Maybe somebody in this room, maybe me. We don't know, do we? There will be tests of your faith. There will be both trials and joys. Did those trials last year strengthen you in your faith? Did the Lord use them to train you towards godliness? Was it a year of growth in your love for the Lord or a year of distractions? If you remember, last year's motto was about running with perseverance the race marked out for you. Did you falter? Did you lose your focus and pace? Actually, it's a race marked out for us together as a church. How did we follow that course? We can't live our Christian lives on our own. Well, for us as Christians, we are waiting and longing for the Lord to return to take us to his heavenly glory, which is better by far. That is our focus and our hope. And when we think that way, it makes us determined to make the most of the time while we're here, to serve our Saviour and the Master we profess, to see others saved from hell and damnation and remade into disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is our urgent business. That's it. Before all else, before everything, in fact, all else really is there to that end, our work and our families. And so we read, as Chris read, verse 35, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Be dressed, ready for service. The picture's an easy picture, isn't it? You're a servant in your master's house. He's away and is coming back later. And when he arrives, will he have the door open to him, the meal prepared and all things ready? Or has the servant not waited up? He or she has slipped off to bed. They're not dressed. No, they're in their pyjamas or onesies or whatever it is they had, and they've gone off to bed. They haven't waited for him. They've felt tired and gone on up. And he comes home and all is quiet. Nothing is ready. The food is not ready. The servants are not ready. In fact, they're nowhere to be seen. So that's the picture about not being dressed. But what about keeping your lamps burning? Well, the master returns to the house and finds it in darkness. The lamps have not been attended to, and one by one they've all gone out. All is dark. The lamps have not been maintained. They have not been refilled with oil. They have not been kept going. And left to themselves, they have just faded to darkness. And it's easy to see what this is all about, because verse 40 says, you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So this is about the Lord returning. He is currently in heaven, as at the wedding banquet, we heard that, but he will return. And because he hasn't yet, we mustn't be caught out and think that it won't happen, and therefore not to be found ready. He's already said it will be when you don't expect, and it could be late. And he gives a picture here, doesn't he? Even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. Well, the second watch is 9 p.m. to midnight, and of course they used to go to bed early, didn't they, when the sun went down? The third watch was from 12 o'clock to 3 in the morning, which is indeed late. You'll have to stay up and be attentive. And yet the world's view is very different, doesn't think about the Lord's return. In fact, the 10cc did a song with the lyrics, 2,000 years and he ain't come yet. So that's the world's view about these things. And Peter says the world will mock. Of course they will, but not the church. We must be expectant and ready. For unlike the world, when he returns, we will be taken to glory. It's great news for us. So why is it that we don't, in the church, generally in the West, hear much about Christ's return in our complacent and comfortable church? Through the centuries, and in persecuted countries particularly, God's people have longed for it, sung about it, heard sermons about it. In fact, I was digging around at home last night for an old tape I have, Valery Baranov, the church in Soviet Russia. And you know, it's a tape of their songs, and it's all about Christ's return. And they're just longing for that day when he will come back. Well, it's not mentioned, is it now? It's not our focus at all, and it should be. So what is it that causes us as Christians, those he has chosen and appointed to be servants of the kingdom, to so slip back from our responsibilities and readiness? What causes us to no longer be watchful, be vigilant, and to long for his return? What distractions are there? What is it that steals our hearts away and causes us to take our eyes off the Lord? Well, the number one principle when you read a passage of scripture is to look at the context. So the immediate verse before that tells us the answer, doesn't it? Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And I used to get this the wrong way around, and perhaps it works just as well the other way around, doesn't it? Where your heart is, there is your treasure. So is your heart, your first love, your prime love, directed towards the Lord Jesus? Do you love God above all else? Is he your treasure? Is he? I mean, it's an issue of the heart, isn't it? He is the God who made you and who died for you to rescue you from your sins. Is he now your treasure? Or do you really treasure your family more, your health more, your comforts more, your status more, your life more? Well, Jesus, in his way, speaks to this, doesn't he? He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Well, we are to love our families and wives and children. So how much more should we love him? And that's what he challenged Peter with. Do you remember when he said, do you love me? In fact, he said, do you truly love me more than these? To Peter, the end of John's Gospel. Peter, who had boldly proclaimed he would die for Jesus, soon had his heart laid bare, didn't he? The truth was, he loved his life and his status and his safety more than honouring the Lord. And actually, it was the third watch of the night, wasn't it, when the cock crowed and he broke down and wept bitterly. Does not Jesus now say to you and I, do you love me? Do you love me? If the answer is yes, then we will be ready and waiting and longing for his return. Is that the truth of the matter? Well, don't be a Peter. Actually, do be a Peter, because he had a change of heart, didn't he? And he lived for the Lord, and actually, if you read John 21, he died for the Lord as well. And we didn't get that far, but the next verse in our passage is Peter piping up and asking about this passage, so maybe he's challenged by it. Well, his change of heart brought with it a change of priorities. And I wonder if this, on the new day of 2023, there will be a change in your heart and a change in your priorities. A number have come to church over the last year. Why did they come? Why are you here this morning? It's not a weekly hour in church, but a love for Christ that he's looking for. A visit for an hour might make you feel better, but if there's no evidence of saving faith with accompanying deeds, then don't think that a presence here will make any difference at all whatsoever in how God sees you. It's if you come here to hear God speak, to seek to worship him, and to live a godly life, that's good. But let's be clear about this. Unless your life and actions show that Christ is in you, then you remain where you once were in your sin and will be treated accordingly. If that is you, then seek salvation. Turn from your sins in repentance and look to the cross while you can. Do it today. And then you will, if you do that with sincere hearts, you will then start to bear the fruit of Christ's likeness. Something he can see and rejoice in, and something, of course, we can see as well and rejoice in. And that's why Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So that's how we can see who the followers of Jesus are, by the fruit of Christ's likeness in your life. And if there's nothing there, then you're not a follower of Jesus. It's as simple as that. That's God's desire, is that you display the fruit of Christ's likeness in your life, showing yourself to be a disciple. In other words, a servant. So, of course, this is the lead up to think about what it is to be dressed ready for service. For Jesus says the mark of a servant is to be dressed ready. And so let's just think about that for a moment. There's plenty of the scriptures about serving. And I just picked out a verse from Malachi that says, "You will see this distinction between the righteous and the wicked, because between those who serve God and those who do not." So that's the clear indicator, really, of where we are before God. Well, it's been very clear to me, and I'm sure many of you, that the Lord has been disciplining some of us over this last year. And you know who you are. If you do know the Lord and have slipped back, then there is but one remedy, one medicine, and that is repentance, change. To seek to do that, and the Lord will help you wonderfully. And if you will not, Jesus says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of. In other words, if we've let it go to complacency, he says he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That's over the page in verse 46. Very strong warning from the Lord there, isn't it? And that is why in his love, he brings hardships to his people and tells us to treat them as discipline. And why? So that our faith may be proved genuine. Remember, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Jesus said, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." What should we do? Be earnest, be zealous, the AV says, and repent. So that's what we should do. And as we start a new year, may I encourage you to look to him first, each new day, as we start the day. Not the phone we look to, it's the Lord. Put the phone away, turn the telly off, read his word and let him speak to you, and then pray and speak back to him. And that is what we should do. We should have knees like a camel. We should be prayerful people. And we need to put away all those other things that are hindering. And we don't say to the Lord, "Well, I will as soon as I've done this or that." We stop and give him the first call. And he says, doesn't he, make promises. If we seek first him, he will take care of all those other things that are so important. The devil likes to find important things for us to do when it gets in the way. And when we finish one important thing, he'll find something else. And then we'll never come back to spending the right time with the Lord. Great thing is, the more you pray, the more you start to see things differently. The more you dwell with the Lord, the more you'll be concerned for the things of his kingdom. And that concern becomes, what can I do? And when you're praying for somebody, Lord, what can I do? Or you're praying for a situation, what can I do? We're brought into it. And the more we pray, the more we'll be in a state of preparedness to action. In other words, dressed for service. The AV very helpfully says, "Let your loins be girded about." And of course, in the East, they wore long garments and gathered them up. They girded them about themselves that they might perform their service with greater ease and less hindrance and be ready for business. In other words, that long cloak, they tucked it into their belt so they could get on with the work and not be hindered in any way. It's a bit like, if you've got a long cloak on, I don't know, ladies with long dresses, don't see much of that, but a bit like the old sack race at school, you just can't get around, can you, and do things properly. So we need to throw off those things that hinder and then be engaged in service. And if you're here, the Lord has placed you here in Kings Norton, there's a work to be done. And we serve the Lord in different ways, and I'm just going to recall some of the things that came to mind about how we can maintain the Lord's house. And every true disciple should have an avenue of service. We should have things we do. There's the preparation of the chapel, tidying away, cleaning, putting out the chairs, preparing communion, wine and bread, operating the PC. The candles that we had out at Christmas, beautiful as they were, they didn't put themselves out or put themselves away again. Somebody has to do all these things. And I've had a comment that says, is it right that non-church members should be doing more than members? Quite. And I'll just go on with this list. There's a need for secretarial administrative work to be done. There are legal obligations to be met. We need to find insurance for the church house. We need new contracts for electricity and gas here. The DBS is to process. There's maintenance and repairs. There's the rotating of posters outside. There's the library to catalogue and promote. We need a new web page. We need more help with Crusaders. We need more help with Bapchap. Can you drive a minibus? Goes on, doesn't it? There's the playgroup, if that's your gifting. But handing out good newspapers in Westheath Hospital or the library, don't need any gifting for that. But a heart to serve. So there are just a few things that come to mind to be done. And we all need to share that. And those should be done with a willing heart. And we serve the Lord also by seeking to make disciples of others, to give time to befriend those around and to visit them, and particularly those who are needy amongst us and the elderly. That is for all of us. That is our reasonable act of service. And as Christians, we're no longer like those around in the world who just sort of feather their nest and while away the time with your shopping trip. No, we've been entrusted, and it's only us who are entrusted with the message of salvation. The one key to the kingdom, the way of rescue from the judgment of sin and the way to heaven. So it's really important that we are active, living out our faith by doing these things. We're not, as I missed a train the other day, sitting in the waiting room, waiting for the sort of next train to heaven to arrive. No, we need to be active. And that's what I think he means when he says dressed, ready for service. And God honouring service comes from love in the heart. It's a settled conviction that my short life here on earth is to be used for my Redeemer. And he's the best of masters. You don't get a better boss than him. And we should serve him gladly. And I can say my experience, and some of you as well can say, actually, when you're serving the Lord, that is the place of joy. That is where other things actually fade away, and you're doing what he's made you to do. And it's a place of joy and satisfaction. So if the Lord was to come back today, what would he find you doing? Tomorrow morning? Tomorrow afternoon? What would he find you doing? Well, someone has said, set your hearts upon the other world and your expectations from that world. Provide for yourself bags that won't wear out and are never empty. Not full of gold, but of grace in the heart and good works in the life. These are the bags that will last. So there's something about being dressed ready for service. What about keeping the lamps burning? So more briefly, just think about that. It's important to keep the lamps burning in the Lord's house. Attention is needed to keep the light of God's truth, that it will shine out. So what does he mean when he says keep the lamps burning? Well, the Latin version actually has these words, lamps burning in your hands. The word for lamp is the portable lamp. So that adds another dimension to it, doesn't it? It's your lamp that you carry with you. Maybe it's the word of life that you're holding on to and holding out to others, as Paul says to the church in Philippi. And the word of God is often spoken of as a lamp, isn't it? Peter speaks of having the word of the prophets made more certain and you would do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. So we need to know it and to stand by it. Or is it the light of my profession of faith, which should be kept clear and bright? In fact, Jesus links good deeds and light together. So maybe the light in this passage is to do with the good deeds. For he says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So maybe that light is the fact that you are dressed ready for service and doing the good deeds. In fact, that lady, that very active lady in Proverbs, saw that her lamp did not go out at night. And through her endeavour and all that she did in busy service, it says she could laugh at the days to come. So likewise, if we're busy in the Lord, we can smile at the days to come. Whatever the world throws at you, it doesn't matter, for you are ready for when the Lord returns. Well, Jesus finishes this section by saying, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. In other words, be constantly on the lookout. If you knew there was a burglar in your road, would you turn the lights off and go to bed? Not at all. Ever been burgled? I've been burgled. And what you don't do is then go and buy locks and sort of put locks on afterwards, do you? You try and wish you'd seen it before. So we must be ready, says Jesus. Be constantly expecting my return, really, is what he's saying. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So keep looking out. I'm coming back any time. We don't know. And in Revelation, it says something similar. Jesus is speaking again. He says, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him. So to conclude, have our eyes on the future glory. If we're dressed ready for service now, then we're dressed ready for glory. Grace will go with us into another world, for it is woven into the soul, and our good works will follow us, for God is not unrighteous to forget. Well, we mentioned briefly about a wedding banquet. In Revelation 19, the angel says to John, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. You invited? Will you be there? That's not just to observe a wedding. We all go to weddings, don't we? But this is to be the bride. In the roar of the heavenly host, we read, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. So ladies who've married, did you spend any time and effort searching out for that wedding dress? Sure you did. You didn't just pick something off the back of the rail at home, did you? Really important. And you had other people come and help you with it, and you watered it and made it look just perfect. Well, the bride is prepared, for we read later, she was beautifully dressed for her husband. See how she's dressed with all that bright and clean clothing? What does that represent? We might immediately say, well, it's the righteousness of Christ that has clothed me. Good answer, but actually it's not the answer. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. These are the good works done here while in the body, in this world, serving the Master. That's the bright clothing that we will have on that wedding day. And just pick out a couple of other things. Verse 37 and verse 38, Jesus said, the one who does this has found a good thing. It will be good for those servants who the master finds them watching when he comes. Verse 38, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. Couplet, why has he said that? Well, I think the bombshell verse is in the middle. Did you notice? I tell you the truth. In other words, listen to this. He's saying he will dress himself to serve. He will dress himself to serve. The Lord God will serve you. He will readily and cheerfully administer you his joy, and you will share in all the glories of the other world. You will have them recline at the table and we'll come to wait on them. He, the bread of life, will feed us. He, the Lamb at the centre of the throne, will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water. And the Arabic version says this, he shall stand to minister unto them. And the phrase expresses somebody is walking around. Can you imagine a table with everybody eating? Somebody walking around and waiting on them. He says, I will do that for you. If you serve me, you can expect me to do that for you. Amazing, isn't it? The Lord of glory coming to serve his people. Well, the new year starts today. And in case you haven't made up your resolution, I have it for you here. As you can work out from what we've been saying, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning. So this is for the fridge, this is for the Bible, this is for, you know, the steering wheel, the car, wherever it is you want to put it. So please all take one and remember it, do it, put it into practice. And then you will be well set for his return when he comes. And we don't know when. This might be the last time. So really important for 2023 and 24 and 25, okay? Keep it going until the end.